Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. So happy to have you joining us in worship today from wherever you may be. We're looking forward to a great time together. Just wanted to share a couple of things with you. Last week, I had introduced to you the idea that we were going to be making some changes with our worship services. As you know, we currently have one in-person service and one Zoom service, and the Zoom service has been meeting at 10:45 each week. But starting September the 12th, not next week or the week after or even that, but September 12th, our Zoom worship service will be at 9 a.m. and our in-person worship service will be at 10:30 a.m. So we're going to flip them and change the times just a little bit. I want to make you aware of that so that you can make adjustments accordingly. So not next week or the week after, September 12th is when we will begin those changes, and we'll be reminding you all along the way. Just a moment, I want to just stop and give thanks for the gifts that you guys give to help make the ministries at Grace and in the larger community possible. I'm going to say a blessing over the gift and the giver, but I thought, as we do from time to time, that it would be good to just stop and reflect on the things, the variety of things that we have to be grateful for. And I just, you know, from time to time, I think to elevate the level of gratitude increases our level of joy. So I want you to reflect back over the last 24 to 48 hours of your last day or two. And I want you to think about something that you are specifically grateful for. Now, I want to remind you, as you are reflecting on what you might be grateful for, I want to remind you once again that when you woke up this morning and you opened your eyes, you could see. And you could see in living color. And you could experience texture and variety. And then when you got out of bed, most, if not all of you, were able to shower. You turned on a faucet in which you had clean water, warm water. And then you went to your closet and you looked at not just one or two outfits, you had a variety that you could have chosen to wear. And then when you went to eat your breakfast, you opened the pantry and there wasn't just one thing you could have eaten, there were many things that you could have eaten. In other words, before you even got started with your day, there were so many gifts that were abundant in your life that you probably just didn't even think about, because every day they're there and every day we get used to them. And so I want you to just think about all of the gifts of the day. And as you're able, just go ahead and unmute. We're going to take like 3, 4, 5 minutes and elevate the level of gratitude to increase our communal joy about what we're thankful for. And at the end, I'm going to give thanks for the offerings and for the blessing that they are to our church. So when you're ready, just go ahead and unmute. What are you thankful for? What are you grateful for specifically?
Hello.
Great, Cheryl.
How are you?
Good.
I have to say, in addition to the things that you just said, I'm thankful for my job, my family, and my health and friends.
Thank you, Cheryl. I'm thankful to see you today. You too, brother. Good to see you, Ernie. Who else?
Oh.
Hey, Daisy.
No, I'm going to say something about Daisy. I'm just so thankful that I have Daisy. The support she gives me, and I mean every day, is absolutely amazing. I don't show, but there are some days that I get very depressed, and I get down, and she's always there for me. She always she seems like it's always that I'm her main concern, and I'm just so thankful that I have that. And when I am down, she gets me back up again, and she's truly an amazing. Great. I'm so lucky to have her for my wife. Very grateful.
That's great. Thank you, Bill. Every day with Daisy is an amazing day.
It is.
I just wanted to say, and I mentioned it before, Bill did the mile swim this morning, and he won first place in his age category. But I was, as I know, he's in the ocean. I'm praying for him and that he makes it safely, because there are times that there are swimmers that have to be pulled out, or things do happen. So I'm always praying for him that that he will make it successfully and safely out of the water. So that's what I'm grateful for this morning.
I have to add that I'm very safe in the water. It's when I get out of the water, then I get concerned.
Sounds like your prayers were answered. Congratulations, Bill. Nice job. Bill was swimming a mile in the ocean when we were all just brushing our teeth. Anybody else?
I would say the gift of laughter. Stan and I have been playing a lot of games with Grace and her boyfriend Danny, and we've just been laughing at a lot of silly stuff, so it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's great. Thanks, Kathleen.
Thanks.
Whenever you're ready, just unmute. Go ahead.
I am so grateful. I don't want to jump on the spouse-like party, but I am so grateful for my husband, and he helps me with the Zoom worship service. And if he didn't, I would be stressed out, but having him here makes me like so relaxed. So I'm very grateful.
Thanks, Susan. We're all grateful for Steve.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, Carl.
Yeah. I want to be grateful for family and friends. My adopted mom, Carmen, who is also in the meeting. I also want to be grateful for God giving me health, and especially my ear, so I can hear. The reason why I'm grateful for my ears is that I think a week ago, I don't know if you've experienced this before, you've taken too much wax out of the ear and you start feeling pains in the ear, and let's say feeling hollow. And I was having that pain in my ear. I didn't visit the doctor. I was just giving it time so that the wax would get balanced back. And this week, it has been joyful having my ear back and being able to hear without any feeling of water in my ear or sound in my ear. So I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks, Courage. Yeah. We take for granted the ability to hear without pain or without issue. That's great. Thank you.
Paul here. Hey, Paul. I'm grateful for my coin ministry, my shadow box ministry, and my embroidery ministry, a new one that allows me to meet brand new people that I've never met before. And last night I finished another shadow box that I promised I wouldn't do anymore, but I did. And I'm so excited to get it in the mail tomorrow. Gives me a great deal of joy.
That's great. And you bring a lot of joy to others through it. Thank you, Paul.
I just want to say that I'm grateful that the tropical storm that was headed our way decided to take a different path. So we're a little rain, but it's okay.
Yeah, much better than it could have been. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, thank you. Sometimes we're thankful for what is, and sometimes we're thankful for what isn't.
Hi, good morning. As always, I'm thankful for my health. I'm also thankful I got to see three of my five grandchildren yesterday. But all of them are healthy, loved, and very well cared for. So I feel very grateful for that.
Thanks, Linda.
I am I'm grateful because for the last week, I got to go home and hang out with my family. I don't get to do that very much. And I woke up this morning in my apartment, and I'm grateful because I've wanted to be a lawyer since I was like 11, and my classes for my second year of law school start in like 3 days. So I'm just grateful that I'm like here and that it's happening. So I'm really grateful this morning.
Your family and especially your dad was so happy to have you home.
Yeah, I'm also very grateful that those days when I was confused and those miserable days that I've been through, and I'm grateful that God gave me the health and always lead me the road that I'm heading to.
Thanks, Ching Ching. Well, listen, as we fill our atmosphere from all of our different homes and locations, we elevate the praises of God because every good gift comes from Him. And so we're thankful. And I just want to pause and just be thankful for the contributions that each of you give as an act of your own faith. As you sow into our fellowship, it enables us to do ministries, to pay staffing, to care for others even beyond our walls. And so I'm just encouraged and thankful for all that you give to make Grace Christian Church even possible. So let me just pause and pray a prayer of thanks, and then we will shift to a video that will set the stage for the teaching that I will give this morning. So please join me. Father, we thank you for all of the things that you have heard, and even the things that we didn't bring to voice. There's so many things that we have to be grateful for. And as we pause and reflect, we are reminded that all of those good gifts come from you. Thank you for each person here together today. As we share this time, may we honor you and may you meet us in the places of our deepest needs. We thank you for all of the ways that each of the people of Grace contribute. We ask that you would help us to steward well the gifts so that we could be a blessing in our community. I thank you for the gift and the giver, and I ask that you would continue to bless us and lead us into life and life to the full. It's in Christ that we pray. Amen.
There's just always been something cool about being able to take the blank canvas, blank paper, whatever it is.
Having like some raw materials or an idea and fleshing it out to be something that you can enjoy.
Just having that time where I get to, you know, move paint around around on the canvas, there's just nothing like it that I've experienced.
It's a healthy, regular practice for me to create. It can easily become an obsession. And so it's a fine line between like recognizing that this is how I'm wired and allowing it to become a vice or a drug or some unhealthy thing in my life to where everything can fall apart in pursuit of this. My primary modality was like rhyme writing or lyric composition, rapping, you know. And I just love the process, love the creative process. I love telling a story to rhythm and syncopation and beats and all that. That energy, I love that. And I've been doing it for so long. When I started pulling back from, you know, performing and creating music at that capacity, it was almost like an identity crisis. Like, this is what I do. This is my purpose. You know what I'm saying? And that was, it took a lot of like running into a wall with that to kind of start unpacking like purpose and identity and like who am I outside of this?
I used to be very realistic. I got to a point where there was just no learning and moving forward in that. And I felt very stuck. I've learned a lot, especially in the past year, as I've let go of any form of realism in my work.
In God's grace, just was able to start looking at things just differently. You know, I started to see that I really enjoy cooking, doodling and drawing and painting when I get the opportunity to. It's not necessarily the mediums. It's the way you approach creative processes or creation.
In my work, you know, I'm acknowledging the chaos and just the messiness of life, but knowing that there's beauty and there's good in it all, even if we don't see it right now, we can know right now that He is good. As in my life, I've let go of control, I've also let go of that and found freedom in my painting, and it feels so much better.
it's a slippery slope, this thing, creation, and this, and being a micro creator, to desire the glory, but to know that it's better suited to be given and offered to the creator, you know. I think about Lucifer, I guess, you know. I think about a created being that is incredibly gifted, if not the best, at their modality. He was creating with his gifts something and was able to distort and pervert that value and place it on himself. We're not designed to receive the glory at that capacity. I think typically that sort of glory does create ruin.
My work, you know, doesn't technically, like, you wouldn't think it's Christian art, or, you know, like, what does that even mean? But when I'm able to share the root of what my pieces come from, what better way, you know, to use my gifts as, like, a way to reflect God and his creativity. There's just something about painting that I'm able to tell his story best through that.
That's been a lot of the learning the last, like, 10 years, figuring out where art fits, who benefits from it when wielded in a way that is not for my own selfish glory or praise, but what it looks like to exalt God through it and to allow God's character to shine through it, to draw people into himself, to create spaces for people that are healthy. Art music just unpacks life in another dimension than just, like, talking about it. You know, you can feel it, you can smell it, you can hear it, your senses are opened up in almost praise and worship of the creator if you wield it with that intention.
I get to create knowing that I was created to reflect my creative God. And it's just so much greater than creating for myself. Yeah, I feel like there's just a greater message and greater story that comes along with that.
Vincent, you're muted, hon. Vincent. Vincent, you're muted. Vincent, we can't hear you.
Got it. Sorry about that. Sorry about that, guys. So what I would love in the first couple of minutes of our time together is if you could show me your pretty face. In other words, not have blacked out screens, because I need to see you to interact with you. If you're not in a spot where you feel good about doing that, it's totally fine. But I would love it if I could see you, because I have a couple of questions that I want to ask you, and I would love to have response. Now, you're not going to speak to me. You're just going to raise your hand, or you're going to indicate in some way that you are acknowledging the question. So anyway, show of hands, how many of you guys would consider yourselves to be creative geniuses? Creative geniuses. How many of you guys are creative geniuses? I don't see a lot of hands. Musician, artist, chef, writer, gardener, athlete, engineer, interior design, carpenter, electrician, homemaker. There's a lot of different canvases that we can paint on. How many creative geniuses, humbly, do we have? Okay. How about linguistic savants? You're, like, super good with the English language. You have over 60,000 words at your disposal to choose as you want to tell stories, to describe experiences that make others feel as if they were actually there. You have words that lift up. You have words that tear down. You can do this with one of the most difficult languages in the entire world. How many of you guys are linguistic savants? Even less. Now, I think more of you are. Thank you for your participation. I think more of you are than you actually give yourself credit for. I believe this because most every single one of you were learning the English language by the time that you were 2 or 3 years old. I mean, you could barely walk, and yet you were learning words, building vocabulary, developing sentence structures. You were mastering the English language before you could even tie your shoes. If our families would have moved in some way, let's just say, to Tokyo, you would have been doing the exact same thing with Japanese. And if they would have moved to Paris, you would have been doing the same thing with French. And if to Mexico, the same thing with Spanish. When you were very young, age 2 or 3 years old, you would have had the capacity to learn any language on planet Earth. It would have been child's play for you. But somehow, somewhere along the way, you just forgot that you were a linguistic savant. And in the same way that you forgot that you were a linguistic savant, I think you also forgot, many of you, that you were a creative genius. Pablo Picasso, the great artist, once said that all children are born artists. Our challenge is to remain artists as we grow up, because we don't grow into creativity, we grow out of it. Now, most of you told me with your show of hands or lack thereof that you didn't see yourself as a creative genius. But I wonder where that message came from. Did it come from a teacher or a parent or an art project that you got a C minus on? Did it come from looking at someone else and comparing yourself to them and thinking, well, they're just way better than I am? Who told you that you weren't creative? Who told you that you weren't a genius? Because I believe that each of us are essentially artists, creative geniuses. And the reason that I really firmly believe this to be true is because the scriptures tell me so. So let me show you. Genesis chapter 1. If you have a Bible and you want, you can turn with me. We're going to begin in the beginning. The very first page of this big book we call the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, goes something like this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Let's stop there. Before anything else came into being, God was. And the very first thing we learn about God is what? Long before God is sustaining or saving or redeeming, renewing and reviving, long before any of those things ever happen, we learn that God is creating. Our Creator is creative. It's the first thing we learn about God. God takes a formless and empty canvas, and he begins to create. And as you follow the story through the course of chapter 1, you will discover that God creates light and water and land and grass and plants and animals, all of which are cutting edge. They are never before seen ideas. God just made them up with all of the gravitational and biological and structural and chemical laws that govern them. With every new creation, God incorporates multiple colors, amazing patterns and textures, and unique design for every single creation. Instead of a drab black and white world, God creates beauty and variety to be enjoyed. When you look at the story and listen to the details, you find that God designs with intention and intelligence and love. And the end result is stunning. But as the story continues, as you make your way through it, in verse 26 of chapter 1, you read, "Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals of the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground, the chipmunks and the squirrels." And so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. The greatest of all creators, the greatest of all artists, the one who fashioned the sun and the moon and the stars and the humpback whale and the labradoodle, actually made you and me in his image. We alone are God's handcrafted design made in his image. We are stamped with it in our being. And with such honor, God has given us the glorious task of representing him well on earth. We are to care for all of the things that he created. He has entrusted to our care things that are precious to him. In his image, God created us to care, but God also created us to create. And we are given freedom to create that which is good and beautiful and awe-inspiring. It could be with a paintbrush or a pen. It could be with a guitar or a lump of clay. It could be literally with anything. And think about this. We have the capacity, you and me, to imagine a world that we have never seen. We have the capacity to imagine a life we have never lived, a person that we have never become. We have the capacity to materialize that reality from absolutely nothing. Our imaginations are limitless. They are God's playground. We can imagine a world, think about it, with hunger and create technology and construct unique programs to literally change landscapes and feed people that are hungry and poor. We have the capacity to imagine a world of freedom and liberty for all, for everyone, no matter what race or sex or orientation, no matter what, where people have liberty and freedom to become their very best selves. We have the capacity to bring justice for people who live in places of slavery and injustice, who live at the margins, who experience prejudice every day they wake up. We have the capacity to dream up a world where that doesn't exist, a place where all are free to be their best versions of themselves. We imagine ideals and we can create because of those ideals. And when we do, it pleases God, because God, as we create these things, sees us reflecting his image to the rest of the world. And he steps back from it and he calls it very good. Truthfully, we are all artists. We are all creative geniuses. We create out of who we are, but sometimes we just forget. And so I want to remind you that the future is just waiting to be created by the person or the people with the courage to take their ideas and ideals and create or recreate that kind of world that all of us want and all of us need. We are both a work of art and artist at work. In the image and likeness of the one who made us, we are all created to create. Now, with God's help, our challenge, our invitation, is to figure out what's supposed to be and then to make it really great. As you think about that, let's pray. Lord, remind us who we are in our creation. Remind us every day whose image we were made in, who stamped glory on us and in us, so that like you, we could make beauty out of chaos. We could bring something from nothing. We could dream new dreams and then actualize those into realities that bless and honor you, and so too your great creation. Would you help us, Lord, not to compare ourselves with one another, but in our lives to be open to what canvases you want us to paint on? Because every time we do, every time we create, we become like you. We live into the fullness of the design that you placed in us. Help us to be great creators of beautiful things, that your kingdom would come and your will be done on this earth as it is in the heavens. And in advance for all that we will do, we give you thanks for making that possible real for us. In Christ we pray. Amen. So if we could, I want us to talk for a few minutes, in particular, as we're getting started, about why, when I asked you if you were a creative genius,